Welcome, everybody. This is How to English, Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given where necessary.
Hi.
Teaching kids.
Hi, Gav.
Episode 45.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. How are you?
I am totally focused on this and not thinking about all the lessons I've been teaching today.
Episode what?
45.
Called?
Teaching Kids.
Episode 45, Teaching Kids. Are you teaching kids at the moment? Have you got any kids on your timetable?
You asked me if I had any kids.
No, we don't talk about personal things like that. I just mean, have you got any kids on your timetable?
I have. I've got one and potentially a second one starting in the new year.
Oh, and is it going well?
It is going well, yeah. To be honest, let's go back to the beginning. So somebody said to me, hey, you're an English teacher, want to teach my kid? And I said, not really.
I get that a lot too.
Do
a
you?
A lot of people who I teach say, can you teach my kid?
It happens a lot, doesn't it? So I guess if they know a teacher, they just assume that that teacher would also teach kids.
And I often say, I can teach you really well, but that doesn't mean I can teach anybody really well.
Because you're an adult.
Yeah, exactly. It's so different, isn't it, teaching kids?
It's a different skill. So eventually I said, oh, how old is the kid? And they said, oh, the kid's an early teenager. And I thought, well, okay, I should probably keep using those skills that I developed years ago of teaching teeny tiny little tots.
You haven't lost it then, because it's the use it or lose it thing, isn't it? Like you think you can pick it back up again and
use those
skills.
Like riding a bike.
Let's not go into metaphors, Gav, but you sort of dusted off your children lessons document folder.
Yes.
And started again.
Well, actually, I completely started again. I went online and tried to find some books that people are using these days. I found some stuff from Oxford and the Let's Go series.
How are they? Like, are they up to date? What have they got in them? Have they got iPads in them? Have they got like up to date technology, or are they still talking about Blackberries and cassette tapes?
There wasn't so much technology in there. It was all about, you know, let's all go to the park together and stuff.
Oh, that's right.
So I got it all ready.
Yeah.
And then I started the first lesson with my student and I discovered she just wanted to talk about fashion.
Oh, okay. So you just scrapped the book and
pretty much
went with her ideas.
I do. Occasionally I pop back to books like, I think there's an Oxford Picture Dictionary, which has got images that go along. It's themed. There's quite a few books like that, which are quite good for kids and teens.
I was going to say, that sounds a little bit kiddie though, isn't it? Like, I think kids these days are grown up quite fast. Like, I'd say a 13-year-old now is like a 20-year-old, no?
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I quite like when you're having a conversation and suddenly the student says, this morning I spent time, I don't know, mopping the floor, or I made my bed, or I did some dusting. And then you can open one of these picture dictionaries and they've got the whole scene and it shows you the vocab. It shows somebody. It's just more visual, which I think is good with kids.
All right. So it's not all just pink unicorns and stuff like that.
No.
It's functional and quite applicable to life as well.
So it was quite successful. That's what I'm trying
to say.
It's
going well.
Yes,
yeah,
I think
mean.
So.
And that's good.
There might be a second one adding to that. And actually,
a
second kid.
Okay.
And what I really like is just learning about what kids are into now. You know, what interests them. Might be about technology, could be sports, could be anything.
I mean, I heard it said a few times, you know, the children are our future, Gav.
Should we treat them well and let them lead the way?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
So it is true, and I think you're right. To stay on the cutting edge of, you know, life and what's going on in the world, you need young people to tell you what is going on.
True.
And I feel I should probably take my students up on their offers to teach their kids, but I still am very nervous about teaching kids, to put it mildly.
A bit reluctant.
Very reluctant. I feel like it is just such a different skill set. And I have definitely gone in a different direction with my teaching. So yeah. Teaching kids is amazing. It's really something hard, I think. It's very demanding. It is incredibly fun, though. I think that's one memory I have of teaching kids, is that feeling of it just being so fun.
Tell us more about your experiences of teaching kids, then.
Well, when it's good, it's just amazing. Yeah. I don't think there's anything better, really, than a group of excited 12-year-olds. I mean, for me, that was just a lovely age to teach, because they're not kids, like they're not little kids, but then they're not grown-up adults either. They're just on that lovely kind of edge of still being children, but
they're on
having
the cusp.
Having opinions and, you know, being able to have conversations as well. And,
but still wanting to have fun.
Yeah, they're not getting all moody teenagers and, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, I just think that's an amazing vibe that you get when they're all interested in what you're teaching.
Yeah.
They're on board, they're enthusiastic. On the other hand, a group of incredibly bored 12-year-olds is possibly the closest thing to hell I can imagine.
I've been there.
If you're not doing the lesson that is sort of making them respond, you've lost them forever.
Is that where lots of teachers end up just showing cartoons, videos, films?
Well, we've all been there. I mean, we've all been there Friday afternoon and you've got no more oomph to give and you're just like, just do what you want. Just do what you want. I mean, I remember getting a teenager doing exam prep. He was an FCE student. Mm-hmm. I felt so sorry for him. He was like 15 years old and Friday afternoon after school, he had to have an English lesson with me.
Oh, no.
We both hated it. We both didn't want to be there. We were both like, oh, God, let's just get this over. And it was just really, really difficult. He wasn't feeling motivated. I didn't want to give it, like, I don't know, just didn't have the energy to get him motivated. Oh. One of the hardest classes I've ever taught, definitely.
Were you using a book for that?
Yeah. And as much as I tried to liven up the book, you know, exam classes, you have still got to do the work. And he was great. You know, he, from his side, I can't complain. He did everything I asked him to do, but it was so, like, the life wasn't there. It was just like he was doing it because he knew he had to. There was no joy at all. It was just so sad.
But I remember you described your exam classes and you said they could be quite fun. Do you
remember
we talked about exam skills? Episode 42, check it out if you haven't.
Yeah, it can be fun. Like, it can be dynamic. If you've got a group, they can all sort of bounce off each other. But a very low energy teen on a Friday afternoon is incredibly hard to find. I mean, this is why I don't teach kids in teens anymore. I just find it very hard to find a way to give them the energy that they need. And that's a skill. That is a total skill.
You need to have that skill.
Techniques, you know, what works, what doesn't. That is an amazing skill.
Yeah.
What about you, Gav? What would you say the most demanding class of kids was for you? What age were they? Why was it hard?
Yeah, teenagers again. I remember them. It was a summer school, and I remember looking at the back of the class, and there were two or three students just crawling over the desks. And I thought, I'm just going to let them do that. I don't think they're going to hurt themselves. If they're not interested in English, that's fine. The rest of us are just going to have fun. And so I tried to make it fun for the rest.
So you just didn't want to take on the confrontation of trying to get them under control, or you just thought that is fine if that's what they want to do?
Both, maybe.
Yeah. I do feel quite intimidated by teens, I think, you know, because they do have a lot to say often.
They've got opinions.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the bigger ones and the little ones.
Definitely. And I worked in summer schools as well, and teens were difficult. And I do remember a couple of classes of just, like, finishing and bursting into tears just because of the frustration I felt.
Oh, no.
Not being able to do the lesson I'd wanted to do, not being able to do anything, in fact, just feeling like I hadn't achieved anything.
Oh.
And all I was doing is just shouting at the top of my voice the whole time, listen to me.
Oh.
That never works. I think any teacher will tell you that with kids. That is never going to work. That's just going to make the noise levels higher.
Did you mention that before? You said that somebody gave you a tip when you're teaching kids to go in tough, go in hard on the first lesson.
Yeah, that was terrible advice.
Oh.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, because the second, I think I taught this particular group of kids, I taught and then I had a break from them and I went back and taught them again a couple of years later, weirdly, and I had a totally different approach the second time. the second time, I went in like, until you do something wrong, I'm not going to give you any, like, I'm not going to give you a hard time. You're going to just get my respect until you do something that loses my respect. And I think that is key with kids and young people, is just don't make them feel like they're an enemy immediately, which is what the advice I was given sort of meant. It was like, go in, dictate to them what the rules are, tell them what's possible, what's not possible, what you're going to tolerate, what you're not going to tolerate, the punishment for not doing what you say. I don't think young people want that. I think young people want to contribute. They want, you know, some both sides sort of negotiation. And going in with that attitude was just a totally, totally different response.
What are your thoughts on rewards?
Well, I think, I don't know, what do you mean?
Well, I remember you saying reward charts, which...
The young ones, like, it's not going to work with a... You know, with a 15-year-old, what do you mean? How old?
Well, you can have a box of sweets on the side. That might kind of make... No? Okay.
Maybe. But
maybe this month's prize is an iPad. Maybe that would work with a teenager. Help.
That would, yeah.
Okay, well, I was thinking maybe, you're right, smaller ones. I had a yearly planner and little stars, and if they behaved really well, if they really contributed to the lesson... and had some good pronunciation or corrected some sentences really well, I gave them a little star and they put that on the chart. And then when they had something like 5 stars, they were allowed a sweet.
And that really worked, did it? They responded.
It did. Although saying that, I think from their regular teachers, they were a bit annoyed.
What do you mean regular teacher?
Because I was the... conversation teacher and the pronunciation teacher and the fun teacher, but then in the school they also had their regular teacher who was doing all the grammar.
So you were like the fun uncle that just comes along and gives them ice cream and sweets and fun.
And I think I was making it more difficult for their regular teachers, which I didn't realise at the time, but I found out a bit later.
I think these reward charts are great, and they maybe don't need even sweets at the end. Just the stars are probably enough. I think the stickers, they love the stickers.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with this, and this is the problem I have with life in general, is consistency.
Yeah.
I start these things, I'm like, okay, everybody, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. And then by week two, I'm like, what, stickers? What? I don't remember stickers. Yeah, all right, have a sticker.
Okay.
There's no... like consistency for me, which is the thing with kids.
I think you're right.
That's key.
That's a key word, isn't it? Consistency.
Yeah, totally is.
What do you mean by consistency?
Well, you've got to maintain it. You've got to keep it going. You've got to give those rewards regularly and consistently. So, like, if one kid's doing something amazing, like writes a story and you give them 1 star and then another one just says, good morning, and you give them 1 star. Is that equal? Is that worthy of... I don't know. I don't understand it. This is the other thing I have with this sort of system. How do you judge what's worthy of a star?
That's a very good question.
And this is what I struggle with, which is why I don't do star charts.
Maybe experience would teach you.
Mm, probably. But I think the kids see it, you know? It's like, they know. They know that I don't know.
Very perceptive.
They know and they see and they judge and they manipulate me. So in the end, I'm just like, here you are, you're in the seat, you're attending, have a star. And then by then it means nothing.
Yeah, you're right. So consistency is really important with kids. And also routine. So you've got like an activity at the beginning, they come in, you do something together,
exactly.
You've got a song or you've got some chanting or you've got a little fun activity.
The other thing I struggle with too, I don't like that sort of routine in my lessons. I like the... surprise, we're doing this today, which maybe kids do like, but you know, I think there is something to say about that sort of routine, that they know what to expect.
I think kids love routine.
Yeah, they need it, don't they? And they like to be sort of directed as well, which I don't do so well either.
Telling people what to do.
Well, yeah, it's like I don't do it in my adult classes. Like, I'm not too bossy. So it's like with kids, I'm like, well, yeah, if you want to do that, do that. You can't do that with kids. You've got to be really like, this is how we're going to do this.
So you dictate what they need to do.
I kind of come back to dictate, but not in the bossy way.
Okay.
You're making me all like messed up now. I don't know. I would say you have to be strong in your instructions.
Okay, but obviously you need to have a clear plan and you're following one activity by another. And that's another thing with kids. You need to have a lot of activities, changing constantly, not too long. Don't draw out any games. But then, like, for example, you can have story time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like story time. And that's a thing that I do with my student. We open a book and I say, can you remember the story from last time? And then we just carry on through the book. And that's really fun.
Mm. And you always feature that in the lesson, like as a set time that you do that.
That's it. At the end of the lesson, we have a little bit of story time. Just go through that.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think consistency is a really good word.
A warmer, a cooler, downtime.
That's it. So what were the youngest that you were teaching?
I think they were about 11.
Okay.
And they were nice. They were a nice age. Mm-hmm. I haven't taught little kids, or only just maybe one or two classes in summer schools, and they were spontaneous, like, let's go and pick up leaves and make pictures, and then thought, hang on, this isn't really English, is it? This isn't really practicing. Okay, let's write the colours down on the paper.
That's nice.
Make a poem or something like that. But it was quite hard.
With little kids, I guess it's more about activities. You don't need to... I mean, you couldn't really sit there just doing vocabulary all the time. They would never be able to concentrate on it.
No.
Wasn't there an activity where you were teaching special events or... were there balloon characters that you were making? What was that about?
It was all real arts and crafts, but it was for bonfire night.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of history. Like British history. And so it was 1605 and Guy Fawkes wanted to kill the king.
Oh, wow.
And then they would make like little characters to sort of narrate the story, like a puppet show, I suppose.
Oh, that's nice.
And so then everyone hold up their character when this character's being mentioned in the story.
Oh, that's nice. So one of them was narrating it and the others were sort of doing a little play.
I don't think I was quite so full of good ideas at that time. I think I was narrating it, which is so like what you just said, get them to do it. Why not? But yeah, I think they were just listening to the story.
Okay.
And then when there was like some gunpowder, they'd hold up the gunpowder in a barrel.
Oh, that's
and when
brilliant.
There were the king, they'd hold up the king. Okay. It was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
And there, isn't there, I remember from the Celta, there was one kids game that we all practiced. I think we learned. Was it going on a bear hunt?
Don't remember that. What did that involve?
Wasn't it each student has a different character, like, so there's a monkey. Do you remember it?
Not really, but that now you've said that, I think they had to make a hand movement or something whenever the monkey was mentioned.
So they responded each time. So somebody was reading the story, and every time you hear the animal mentioned, they had to stand up or they have to make a noise or something. They're really fun. Those interactive games and storytelling.
Really good for listening skills. Really, really nice tip. I like that too.
And I've got some useful tips. Because you know I'm...
You are the tipster.
I am the tipster. I picked up some useful tips from ESL Base.
I know it well, yeah.
And these were written by George and Daisy. So thanks to them at ESL Base. They wrote some really good, I think it was 7 tips, but I've just cherry-picked from that.
Uh-huh.
They mentioned, involve children in hands-on activities.
Mm-hmm. For example?
Well, instead of saying, I don't know, this is a square, this is a triangle, this is a circle, maybe you get the kids sitting in a circle and you say, okay, I want to say one shape and then you have to point at it.
Or, I really liked what I thought you were going to say, is they have to sit in a circle. You say circle and they sit in a circle. So yeah, you're right. Like, it's not about just show the picture, chant or drill it, make a triangle somehow without like health and safety issues and make sure everybody's...
Exactly. Don't have them running around too much because they do tend to fall over and
break
things.
Yeah, but I think some running around's okay, isn't it? Like a little board race here and there, that could be good.
Yep,
they find the panda in the room, you know.
They bounce very easily.
Yeah, they're quite resilient. So, yeah, I think it's got to be a level of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you sit down, you have a story, and then they're sort of chill.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you sort of do something so that they go back to their parents all buzzing and happy about
exactly.
English.
Exactly, or just 30 minutes nap.
Yeah. Yeah. In the lesson, right? Yeah, okay.
Avoid talking for long periods of time, which I feel like I've been doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, short instructions.
Not too much rambling.
Good, yes.
Children learn by interacting with each other and with the teacher, which I think is the first one.
And somebody asked me this question yesterday. They wanted my advice. They said, my daughter needs a teacher and I've got a friend who's also got a daughter. Do you think it would be better if they had the lesson together? And I just didn't know what to say. But I imagine it is better for the kids. They can sort of play together and do activities together and sing a song together. And I think on a one-on-one with a kid, it's quite hard for the focus to be always on that one child. So maybe groups are nice for kids.
I think that's nice.
Oh, well, I want to get onto online in a minute, so let's come back to that. Finish your list of tips, Gav.
Yeah, okay. Review.
Which I would say for any class, not just kids, but yeah.
Especially kids. They forget everything.
No, I think they remember everything. Well, they remember a lot. Maybe more than adults, don't they? Because they're not trying. They just absorb. It's like they know the name of the dragon from the story last week.
They're full-time students. What do you expect? They don't do anything else.
I'm just saying.
Encourage students to correct themselves and other students.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, that is an interesting one, because I tend not to like that.
That was a complicated way of saying I don't like that. But yeah, I don't encourage it either.
Yeah.
So you would be like, okay, everybody, what did Sonia just say wrong?
I'm not sure about that one. Maybe we could get some feedback on that.
There's probably been some research done to say it works with kids, maybe. So they recognise others.
They're very sensitive, though, aren't they? Use what is learned in different contexts.
That's good. I like that tip.
Finally, praise.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a sweetie. It could just be, well done, sweetie. Or actually, well done.
Well done, sweetie.
No, just well done.
Okay, I wouldn't call people sweetie, but okay.
Anyway, yeah. There were some really good tips there. Oh, I quite like that. Talking of online, there is a huge movement that's been going on for the last few years of people teaching kids online. And I've seen a few videos of teachers wearing funny hats and costumes and with pictures behind them and they're holding toys.
Yeah, I mean, how do you keep that energy up online?
I have
no
idea.
It's so difficult.
Maybe they're only 30-minute lessons.
I think, yeah, it has to be quite dynamic. But to do that online is a real challenge.
It's amazing. It's a real skill to have.
Yeah, which I mean, like, these kids that are having online lessons, I don't know how the teachers do it. Like, one-to-one is hard, I think. Like you said, maybe now it's online, it's better to have a one-to-one. But if you've got more than two, like, how do you control that environment? How do you keep them... If you've got more than two children to teach, students, how do you keep them entertained? How do you keep them all focused? I just don't know. I don't know how.
These are real challenges.
There's a lot of games, though, aren't there? There must be, like, a lot of websites that do games.
And the teachers use the screen, so the interactive boards on the actual platform.
Yeah.
And there's pictures, there's writing, so there's all kinds of things that you can do with the kid on the screen. So that's pretty cool. I know VIP Kid, you have to be able to work in the US or Canada, and there's GoGo Kid, Q Kids, iTutor Group, Dada.
How do they work then?
I think you download the app and there's like a booking system on there and everything.
Okay.
You get feedback. Of course, as we've talked about before, there are time differences. You know, if you're teaching kids in other countries, then you've got to take that into account as well.
Yeah. I'd love to know more. If anyone out there has got tips on teaching kids online, I would be very interested to know what techniques they use, because no matter what you do, no matter what activities you do, I guess they're always on the chair, aren't they? Unless you sort of say, right, go and get some cheese.
Yeah.
And come back with it. Or, you know, find a ball in your house. But then I'm not sure the parents are going to want them doing that.
I'm not sure either.
No.
Yeah. But maybe plenty of caffeine.
Caffeine? What, for the children?
For the teacher.
Okay, I wouldn't give kids caffeine. That would be awful. But yeah, okay, yeah.
I just think you need a lot of energy and maybe some creative ideas. There's loads of stuff on the line.
On that line that we use.
Online.
Yeah.
There's loads of tips there.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking as well, once you hit on a topic that they're really into, so if you talk about their favourite cartoon or their favourite animated film, they can talk for hours on those topics. Mm. You know, for example, Frozen 2.
Yeah.
I've had an entire class that was all about Frozen 2.
Yeah.
And it was really, really fun. The kids really enjoying it.
I agree, and I think that is a good tip. If it's working, keep doing it.
Yes. Don't interrupt it. Yeah, which is kind of the opposite of what we said earlier. Have lots and lots of activities. But when it's working, don't stop them. Just let them keep going.
I agree. And our listeners can definitely tell us more.
I think so.
That would be good. I don't have any kids that I teach at the moment. So that's definitely something I need to push myself to do again. Mm-hmm. I think I do maybe need to get back into it.
Mm.
What's your favourite memory, Gav, when you think of teaching kids? What's the highlight that comes to your mind?
I think I've suppressed them all.
Along with the bad memories, if you've lost the good ones as well. Well, that's a shame.
As you said, it's really nice when it's going well and you look around and all the kids are really enjoying themselves. They're involved in what they're doing. They're practicing a bit of English, even if they're just copying words or if they're using sentences, they're introducing themselves to each other in English. Just all the basic things. They're wonderful to enjoy the kids doing that themselves on their own.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
Their eagerness to communicate with you with the little language that they have is adorable. Mm-hmm. Like just seeing them trying to formulate sentences and express something, mm-hmm. and then they succeed and you sort of understand what they're saying and it's lovely. And often you kind of teach them from zero, maybe. Mm-hmm. So you're actually giving them the language and seeing them actually using it is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember teaching a couple of Russian, very young Russian students. And I just remember thinking about how sponge-like, you know, that this sort of age, they were probably only about five, and just how much they absorb. Because I remember doing an activity with them. And because I was at summer school, they obviously had teachers back in Russia. And they must have had a Scottish teacher, even an accent, you know. I know students pick them up, but at that age, they're so, like, open to those sounds. And, you know, maybe they've only had one teacher, so they're just so little mimics of that accent.
Yeah.
And it was just this perfect Scottish accent. It was so cute.
That's a fantastic memory.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah, good. Thanks. Any last words?
I haven't got any last words, but have you?
No, I think that's it. I'm going to think very seriously about taking on more classes with kids.
I think it's a good idea.
Now I'm talking about it, I'm thinking how fun they are.
Yeah.
It's great.
And I'm going to keep all of our tips in mind next time I'm teaching kids.
Good.
Oh,
good, good. Okay. Should we mention our new episode idea for the end of this season of How to English Teach and Learn with Gavin M?
We probably should.
We've already got loads of people writing in. We're going to do a general tips episode at the end of the year.
Yes, teaching and learning tips from all of our followers on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everywhere.
Yeah, so we want some written messages or even a little recording under a minute long, just some tips that you've been given or that you think are useful, and we're going to feature them all on the last episode of the season.
We are. Is it the last episode then?
Of the season, Gav. Oh. Of the season.
Okay.
This winter.
It's going to finish?
Well, we're going to have a very short break, aren't we?
Oh, that's sad.
You decided this. Yeah, it was your idea.
Okay. I need a break.
All right. So we're going to have a very short break at the end of the year. So the last episode in December, I think it's going to be, is going to be all like tips and things coming in from other people.
Amazing,
and us.
Amazing. And we've got real listeners. We've got voices of the teachers and trainers and learners and everything.
And what do they need to do, Gav, if they want to record a message?
They need to contact us.
How do they do that?
Via Instagram.
And there's a link there, is there, on our page?
There is.
Okay, I hope that's clear, everyone. Let us know if you want to feature on the episode at the end of the year.
I'm really excited about that.
I can't wait.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Okay, Gav, so we can wrap up there, and I hope you have a good week next week.
Thank you. And Em, I think you should definitely consider taking on some kids' classes.
I definitely should do that, Gav.
That's it.
Yeah, all right. See you next week.
I will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.